We human beings have wonderful abilities to make distinctions and draw conclusions. And this is a wonderful tool. And this can be a wonderful trap that blinds us or steers us in wrong directions. So, I've spoken of I and all beings and the great earth together retain the way. And people might want to add to that, or we might want to add to that. Oh, that's something that happened once upon a time, and therefore that's the Buddha explaining his awakening. But though we want to draw that conclusion, because that makes sense to us in our way of thinking about space and time, and yet that's not adequate. It's useful for many things, but I and all beings of the great earth includes what's difficult for us to conceive of, that it's not a once upon a time, but it's right now, and it extends in all directions in space and time. So what is this? So let's see if I can clarify a little further by bringing up some of what Dogen Zenji speaks of. Maybe it'll help us, and maybe it'll further encourage us to inquire more deeply and chew more intimately on this matter. Now, another ability that us humans have is to learn to make distinctions. So, for instance, we could look up at a tree and see, oh, that tree has a fruit. That fruit is good. Now this tree next to it, that also has a fruit. But that fruit's not so good. In fact, I can't stand it. It gives me the runs and it hurts my stomach and I can't eat it. Okay. We and many other beings, other hominids, other members of the chimp family, and monkey family, and all sorts of animals learn to make distinctions like that. We can even make further distinctions. Learn that that fruit there is good, but it's only good when it gets very, very red. If I get it when it's green, bad. I can't stand it. I know this personally from, there's a fruit that I particularly like that grows in California in my neighborhood. It's a persimmon. Some of you might be familiar with persimmons. Now there's two different types of persimmons. That's the first thing. You have, though both are the same color, sort of an orangey yellow. There's one persimmon that's shaped, let us say, like a apple, and another persimmon, same color, but it's shaped more like an egg. And both of them get very, very yellow. And then, okay, so I've got my rule. I wait till it gets ripe. And I get one and I get the other. And one of them, the round one, I take a bite of and go, that's great. And I eat the whole thing. And the other one, the egg-shaped one, it's same color, so I take a bite of it. And it's got something in it that makes my mouth go, I feel like it's full of sand and I can't stand it. Okay. So I know that one that's shaped like an egg is not for me. And that one that's shaped round, that's for me. Now, I wait a few months because those persimmons stay on the tree for quite a few months till, well, we're in January, so they go, they're on the tree until from, let us say, October till at least into December and even into January. All of a sudden, I noticed the round ones are getting soft. Well, I take one, I try to eat it. I learn very quickly that it gives me a stomach ache and the runs from eating the round, soft ones. I'm not going to eat that. And I got these other round, soft, egg-shaped soft ones, and I say, well, this one gave me the runs, and I like this one. This one I didn't like before. It's certainly gonna, and someone else says, well, maybe try it. And I take a bite of it, and it's so delicious. It's soft, but it's so delicious. But this was the one that was so terrible. Okay. Now this is actually true for those of you who like persimmons, and there's names for these, but that's not important. What's important is for us to see these human habits and where some of them are useful and some of them are potentially poisonous, certainly making us very uncomfortable. One of the aspects of practice is to enable us to discover what assumptions and presumptions we're making about life that leads to harm and suffering. And even though some of these assumptions work in some aspects of our life, practice is about discovering that many of them have fundamental flaws that we don't realize because we're so used to believing these assumptions. So we believe assumptions and then we fail to see where when we misapply them to make it simple, we are creating suffering for ourselves and others and potentially creating harming, and that some of these assumptions aren't susceptible to us figuring them out by thinking about them, which is our great human capacity and tool, but we have to do and use what's called practice, which requires a whole body mind step beyond our usual way of functioning in the world. Our usual way of functioning of self and other before and after, to name just two of the assumptions that often get us in trouble. What I want and what I don't want, another assumption that gets us in trouble. So, But of course, we need to discover this for ourselves. Even though we usually think if someone tells me something and explains it and I can understand it in my, with my thoughts, that's enough. Though that is enough in many cases, there are aspects of being human which go beyond our human categories and concepts and even our experience until we come to experiences which require us to go beyond. Not to go anywhere else, but to go beyond our usual ways of thinking. But it's not a matter of someone else telling us. It's a matter of us discovering in our own life practice, if I use that word, for ourselves. Though we can hear encouragement, just as we can hear Keizan Zenji describe the Buddha's awakening, I and all beings and the great earth are together awakened as this Buddha life that we are, which we don't understand what that means at first. And even that's a stinky word, so we have to be careful with using it. So, Dogen Zenji, Zenji means Zen master, so it's an honorific, and I know sometimes people get sick of hearing it, and I sometimes want to just say Dogen, as it says, as scholars do. But I've also learned from my teachers that the honorific is important for us to use because it takes us not just to use it as if it's, well, it's a form I should use, but there's something there in acknowledging Dogen in the immediacy where you can say Dogen Zen Master, or that is helpful for us to chew and make what Dogen says something of our own. So, there's a fascicle that Dogen, and I'll just say Dogen here so you can hear that's possible, it's not, quote, bad to say it, wrote very early on after he came back from China and his studies and practice there, called Genjo Koan. Genjo Koan can be called Koan of Everyday Life. Here is a description that scholars have used to describe how Dogen is using the word koan in Genjo Koan. He says that Dogen uses the term koan, quote, that indicates the individuality of things and their absolute equality. The sameness of things, differences, and the difference of things, sameness. So you already hear how it's pushing the limits of the way we ordinarily use words and want to, are habituated to think of sameness and differences as either or differences and sameness. So the term Genjo Koan, quote, points to the ultimate reality in which all things are distinctively individual and yet equal in their presence of their suchness. Wow. Pretty big mouthful, close quote. So Dogen's, I've got several translations here because each of them have their own strengths and weaknesses, but I'll start with the one that is, this is by my teacher, Maizumi Roshi, and he starts, when all dharmas are Buddha dharma, there are enlightenment and illusion, practice, life and death, Buddhas and creatures. When the 10,000 dharmas are without self, there are no delusion, no enlightenment, no Buddhas, no creatures, no life, no death. The Buddha way transcends being and non-being, therefore there are life and death, delusion and enlightenment, creatures and Buddhas. Nevertheless, flowers fall with our attachment, and weeds spring up with our aversion. To carry the self forward and realize the 10,000 dharmas is delusion. That the 10,000 dharmas advance and realize the self is enlightenment. It is Buddhas who enlighten delusion. It is creatures who are deluded in enlightenment. I'll stop at that point. We should know that this Genjo Koan was written, as I said, early on by Dogen and was intended to clarify fundamental points and hopefully to help us humans here, us humans in Japan in the 13th century, to appreciate who and what our life is, the teaching of Dogen, and to see how that can support us to be who we are. So there's, in a way, two aspects in this, and I'll use, as I said, three different sources, and they come at it from a slightly different ways. In one sense, you could say the Genjo Koan is about seeing ultimate reality, if we use Dutch words, fundamental reality of who and what we are in the immediacy of our everyday life. Despite our wanting to think of some categories as good and some categories as not so good, some categories as better and worse, Dogen is asking us to go beyond this, even if we can't quite understand it at first. How do we understand what seemingly are contradictory categories, both as the Genjo Koan, the revealed suchness of ultimate reality, even And if I use the word suchness, that's again, we get to unpack these words. Even though there's seemingly a basic contradiction in them, even though something that's long is not short, and something that's short is not long, and yet each of them are this Genjo Koan. Each of them is ultimate reality. So what does ultimate reality mean? This gets us back to what we were talking about for the past 2 days. The Buddha's awakening that I, all beings, the great earth, have together attained the way, attained this awakening, are this awakening. So, in one sense, you could say, how can I have things that are true and things that are false both be accepted? They're either or. And yet, how do we go past that? So, there's so-called illusion and so-called enlightenment. And yet, all dharmas are Buddha dharma. When all Buddhas are Buddha dharma, there are enlightenment, delusion, practice, life, death, Buddhas and creatures. And yet they're all Buddha dharma. What does that mean? Now, Maizumi Roshi does make a point is that this is something that's not understood just by reading it and seeing it in those terms. But when he says, if we translate that aspect in English, we have to see this for ourselves. If I can say grasp it for ourselves, then these words are more than words. If we can't, then we can hear these words and think about them and trouble about them, and yet not be able to live them and manifest them because they're words, but they seem so contradictory to how we function in our life, seemingly naturally. This is where the realm of practice is about. In one sense, it's so, and in another sense, it's not so. And yet, we don't exclude faults, and we don't cling to the true, and yet there's true and there's false. So, we have delusion, so-called, and yet the delusion is itself, Genjo Koan, the realized way. We use that translation. I'll just say Genjo Koan. I won't try to translate it because you saw the mouthful that translating it is. So, all dharmas, all beings are the awakened life of Buddha. And yet, there's deluded beings and awakened beings. I won't say too much more, except remember how in the practice principles we speak of what causes trouble for us. It's the same as what the Buddha says when he speaks of the source of suffering, attachment. All dharmas are Buddha dharma. And yet, all dharmas are without self. This is, in a way, a next step. But this is a fundamental practice point. Since it is holding to self, caught in self-centered dream, that gets us into trouble. And if I say it further, gets us into trouble into weight with consequences that we don't want. Caught in self-centered dream, only suffering. In fact, you can say, as the Buddha does, from attachment, from self-centered attachment, which is caught, what comes? Suffering. And yet, in seeing that, comes the end to suffering. And Dogen takes this a step further in here, gives us something more to chew. The Buddha way transcends being and non-being. Transcends, if you want to say, all dharmas are Buddha dharma, and transcends 10,000 dharmas without self. Transcends. Transcends is a nice word. As Maizumi Roshi says, if we only appreciate these as progressions, he says, we lose Master Dogen's intent. Each of these sentences are saying the same thing, and yet from a different perspective. He says, this helps us. We can say when all dharmas are Buddha dharma, there are no enlightenment, no delusion, no Buddhas, no creatures, no life, no death. Because everything is Buddha dharma. Everything is reality itself. Since everything is this one reality, there's no delusion, no enlightenment, no life, no death apart. Because of this, he says, to identify ourselves in this way with all phenomena, to see this, this is awakening, this is enlightenment. And yet, that's already something extra. There is no special enlightenment state. It's the fundamental nature of who we are. That's what this whole point of Genja Koan is. That's what the whole point of the Buddha has been for the past 2 days. So, now Dogen is going to keep on helping us with this, but first he wants to maybe give us a chance to appreciate this a little more. So he says, nevertheless, flowers fall with our attachment. Weeds spring up with our aversion. You might add, as Yasutani Roshi does to this comment, oh well, so it is. Flowers fall with our attachment, meaning we see these beautiful flowers, and isn't it wonderful? That was Rose's book. I got that, Rose, and I brought it to you. Oh, isn't that great? You can enjoy it, and it looks, look how open and beautiful, and the floral smell. And later in the day, I look, and the petals are falling down. Oh, arm. And I've just planted these new tomato plants, and I come out and look. And of course, not now, because this is the middle of winter here, but in the far west in California, there are already new shoots springing up, not in the tomato plants, but the crocuses and daffodils are already pushing up, and the buds are coming out on the trees, on some trees. Magnolia tree buds in my front yard and backyard. The backyard magnolia tree doesn't come out yet, but the front yard, the buds are all there. Unfortunately, if we get a freeze before they open, no problem with the freeze, but once they open, bye-bye, all gone. The flowers fall despite my attachment to them. And among the daffodil shoots coming up, there are all these weeds now because we've had lots of rain. Ah. So, that's the way it is. That exactly is this Genjo Koan, this completely perfect, if I use such words. So what is it? So Dogen helps us here. What's our practice here? What helps us to practice in the midst of this, and also to see where our practice efforts can, if I say it this way, bear fruit? To carry the self forward and realize the 10,000 dharmas is delusion. In other words, if as we approach reality, as we approach circumstances that we have to deal with, if we think of that as something outside ourselves and therefore carry the self forward and look at things from that point of view, that's delusion. Delusion is the perfect Genjo Koan. Delusion is the awakening of the Buddha, and yet we get to suffer from it. However, we also know that the 10,000 dharmas advance, and without being caught in our own, say, self-centeredness, or at least noticing it, then as it is, the 10,000 dharmas can reveal, allow us to realize this self that's enlightenment, this self that is the universe, that allows us to be and actualize the whole universe in and act through our life. Okay, I'm going to continue to speak on Genjo Koan tomorrow, but I am going to stop now, otherwise my mouth keeps on going and it's too much at once. And also, we've had enough talk. Best to do our practice to manifest our Genjo Koan in our sitting and in our practice in various forms. Thank you.